And welcome to our 21st episode of Sojourn of Souls. We send our best regards to the Catholic churches of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and St. Henry's, and to all of you, our fellow sojourners from across the country and the world, as we send out our heartfelt appreciation for joining us as we seek to follow the path of truth that guides us through our earthly life and leads us to our eternal home. Hi, I'm Deacon Tim Vaughn, along with my co-writer and editor, Linda Hurley, and we're going to bring you this episode.
Hey there, and I just want to remind each and every one of our listeners that you are our marketing force. So don't be shy about sharing this podcast with all and sundry.
All and sundry?
Oh, yes, especially sundry. Now, shall we open with an Our Father before we jump in?
Of course. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Father.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, before we get to news and the views, just want to let both of you know that both Linda and I came down with the COVID bug. So we have not been able to record recently because neither one of us have been able to talk. So it's been a rough several weeks since Christmas. So but now for news for those in the pews. Just a reminder that RCIA classes have resumed along with That Man Is You and Walking with Purpose for the Women. So please return to those classes so you can learn more about how to get closer to Christ. Okay.
Okay, so are we ready to begin here?
Yes, we are.
Okay, seems that every Christmas day there's this inevitable question. When are we going to take down the Christmas decorations? And if I don't get to feeling better, mine are never coming down this year. Do we take them down the day after Christmas, or do we take them down New Year's Day, or on the Feast of the Epiphany, or on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, or just whenever we want to, or does it really matter?
That's a good series of questions that you just threw out there. And without a doubt, every Christmas, there's kind of a polite disagreement among Catholics as with the Christmas season officially ending. Who knows? Usually the discussion revolves around when to take down the Christmas decorations.
Yes, you used a very important term just then, season. So maybe that's a good place to start. I've never really thought of Christmas as just a day. It's a season. And I think that the length of that season partially depends on family traditions that have often been shaped by our religious observations.
Yes, and these religious observations may have well begun well before the Novus Ordo changed many of the aspects of our liturgical calendar.
So the question remains unanswered. When does the Christmas season end?
Maybe we should clarify the question then. Is it the dispute of the actual length of the Christmas season comparing the ordinary form calendar with the older 1962 extraordinary form or even other earlier calendars? Or is it the disagreement over the Christmas cycle that is not the actual liturgical Christmas season, also known as Christmastide? Or is this about tradition? Small t, not related to the church, but the long-standing secular family or cultural custom?
Not sure that clarifies the question for me. In fact, now I'm totally confused. Let's start at the beginning. When in the history of the church did the celebration of Christmas begin?
Okay, even that is confusing. The word Christmas is derived from the Middle English word Christmas, which came from the Old English Christus Massi, a phrase which means Christ Mass, which was first recorded in 1038. Over time, it became easier for people just to say Christmas. And contrary to popular opinion, even the shorter Xmas doesn't take Christ out of Christmas. In fact, the X is actually the first letter of the Greek word for Christ, which is C-H-E or key.
So, there is no certain tradition of the date of Christ's birth?
Well, Christian chronographers in the 3rd century believe that the creation of the world took place at the spring equinox, then reckoned as March 25th. Hence, they figure that the new creation in the incarnation, that is, the conception and death of Christ, must therefore have occurred on the same day, with his birth following 9 months later at the winter solstice, December 25th. The oldest existing notice of a feast of Christ's nativity occurs in the winter Roman almanac, the chronographer of 354, which indicates that the festival was observed by the church in Rome by the year 336.
So it sounds like even though initially there may have been different hypotheses regarding the date of Jesus' birth in the early 4th century, the church fixed the date as December 25th. Actually, that date corresponds to the traditional date of the winter solstice on the Roman calendar, and it is exactly 9 months after the Annunciation on March 25th, the traditional date of the spring equinox. So that date seems to be based on sound reasoning.
Yes. In fact, most Christians use the Gregorian calendar, which also has been adapted almost universally by the civil calendars. We celebrate Christmas on December 25th. However, part of the Eastern Christian Church celebrates Christmas on December 25th of the older Julian calendar, which corresponds to January 7th in the Gregorian calendar.
Well, I guess that there's really no way to empirically prove the exact date that Jesus was really born. But there are several curious facts surrounding the day of December 25th that make a strong case that this day was indeed Jesus' birthday. The first, of course, is the Star of Bethlehem, which modern-day astronomers have theorized to possibly be a series of extraordinary astronomical events, specifically a triple conjunction of Jupiter, Venus, and the kingly star Regulus, which they've dated to right around the time Jesus was supposed to have been born.
Right. And the wise men, who are actually ancient astrologers, would certainly have paid attention to the events like these and followed them closely right to a little town called Bethlehem.
And actually, there is a second detail that helps us place Jesus' birth within a historical context, and that is census data. The nativity story in the Gospel of Luke opens with mention of a census taken by Quirinius, the governor of Syria at the time.
Correct. Historical records verify that a widespread census indeed occurred in 6 AD. Thus adding another layer of historical truth to the story of Jesus' birth.
Last but not least, I believe that the consensus among the early church fathers seemed to be that Jesus was born sometime between 3 and 2 BC. But the important point is that the tradition maintained by several of the church fathers is that Jesus was indeed born on December 25th.
Exactly. So while it's hard to definitively know the exact date of Jesus' birth, the evidence provided based on historical records and early church tradition safely points to December 25th as the birthday of Christ. But keep in mind, the actual date he was born is a matter of history, not doctrine. What matters, most importantly, is that he was born.
Right. Okay. So, I think we've made a solid case for leaving our Christmas decorations up at least through Christmas Day. But we have also established that Christmas is a season that celebrates the incarnation. Let's discuss some of the alternative dates that could mark the end of Christmas. And since we just mentioned the wise men, let's talk about the Epiphany. Our family celebrates that as Twelfth Night.
Right. And for many years, the English-speaking world, the feast of the Epiphany has been overshadowed by that of Christmas. Unless we realize the significance of this great day, we see only one side of the mystery of the Incarnation. Now, after contemplating the staggering fact that God has become a human child, we turn to look at this mystery from the opposite angle and realize this seemingly helpless child is, in fact, the omnipotent God, the King and ruler of the universe.
I really love that the Feast of Christ's Divinity, that is Epiphany, completes the Feast of His Humanity, which is Christmas. It fulfills all our Advent longing for the King who has come with great power and majesty. We see that whereas Christmas is the family feast of Christianity, Epiphany is the great world feast of the Catholic Church.
Correct, you are. Epiphany, also called Feast of the Epiphany, Theophany, or Three Kings Day, comes from the Greek word aphania, meaning manifestation. Epiphany commemorates the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi, and a manifestation of his divinity.
What's more, I believe that Pope Benedict the 16th, God rest his soul, quoted St. Gregory Nazianzen when emphasizing a further aspect of Epiphany. St. Gregory wrote that at the very moment when the Magi adored Jesus, astrology came to an end, as the stars from then on traced the orbit determined by Christ.
Yes. The story of the wise men's star makes a similar point. It is not the star that determines the child's destiny, but it is the child that directs the star. And the child, of course, being Christ himself.
So, traditionally, the season of Epiphany is included within the Christmas season itself. In many parts of Europe today, the three kings bring the Christmas presents that especially children look forward to with great anticipation. On Twelfth Night in our home, our wise men figures are placed within our nativity scene, and in the evening, they always leave a small gift in each family member's stocking.
Oh, what a lovely way to observe Epiphany, which is a solemnity or major feast celebrated on the 6th of January. However, since the reform of the liturgical calendar, it is now marked in many Catholic churches on the Sunday between the 2nd and the 8th of January. So the 6th of January is simply not a holy day of obligation.
We also should mention that, again, because of the differences between the Gregorian and Julian calendars, the Eastern Rite Church celebrates Theophany on the Julian calendar, January 6th, which is our January the 13th.
That's right. And on Theophany, the Eastern Rite observes the appearance of God at the baptism of Jesus.
In our family, we also bless our home on Epiphany and chalk the front door of our house.
The chalking of the doors, which we did in our house on Sunday. That's a great Catholic tradition. Imagine that if you are a Catholic or have friends who are, you've probably seen it, a mysterious series of letters and numbers looking for all the world like an equation inscribed in chalk over the doorway at your parish or at the home of a friend. Maybe you thought you could figure it out. Maybe you're too embarrassed to ask. And, you know, what the heck is that? And if you don't know what the chalk is all about, don't be embarrassed. You certainly are not alone.
Uh-huh. We hadn't seen it until the pastor at our former parish began handing out little baggies containing a piece of chalk and an explanatory leaflet at Epiphany. He was the one who encouraged all of us to establish the tradition in our homes. So that's when our family began doing it.
Well, good for you, and good for your former pastor also. The time-honored Christian tradition of chalking of the doors goes like this. First, the formula for the ritual, adapted for 2023, is simple. First, bless your chalk with holy water and perhaps a short prayer, then write on the door lintel.
That's the top horizontal board of your front door frame.
You got it, Linda. And write the following. 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 23. Sounds a little confusing, don't it? The letters have two meanings. First, they represent the initials of the Magi, Caspar, Malachi, and Balthazar, who first came to visit Jesus in his first home. They also abbreviate the Latin phrase, Christus Mansionem and Benedictacat. May Christ bless the house. The plus signs represent the cross, and the 20 at the beginning and the 23 at the end mark the year. Taken together, this inscription is performed at the request for Christ to bless those homes so marked that he stays with those who dwell therein throughout the entire year.
Right. And then after the chalking, our family offers a brief prayer asking the Lord to bless our home and all who enter into it during the coming year.
Yes. And that's just a great idea. The chalking of the doors is a century-old practice throughout the world, though it appears to be somewhat less known in the United States. It is, however, an easy tradition to adopt and a great practice whereby we need to dedicate our year to God from the very outset, asking his blessings for our home and all who live and work or visit them there.
We should also mention that, again, because of the differences between the Gregorian and Julian calendars, the Eastern Rite Church celebrates Theophany on the Julian January 6th, or January 13th. On Theophany, the Eastern Rite celebrates the appearance of God at the baptism of Jesus.
Oh, quite right. And because of the differences in the calendars and also localities, the timing for the chalking of the doors can take place at various times, like New Year's Day, on the 12th night, or on Theophany, when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus.
Now, this ceremony, when it is done in the United States, is fairly quiet, simple, private, but I know that it hasn't always been like that.
No. Historically, the chalking most often took place after Epiphany Mass. Traditionally, the blessing was done by either a priest or the father of the family with a special holy water called Epiphany water. And it was often quite elaborate, including songs, prayers, processions, and the burning of incense.
Do you think we have time for one more question?
Sure. Ask away.
What is Epiphany water? I've never heard of it.
Well, it's a very special holy water blessed on the eve of Epiphany. The bishop, or with the bishop's delegation, a priest, would use extensive litanies and prayers to set aside this water for use throughout the year. The element of holy salt was added to the water, and the water itself was first exorcised. Anything taint of the devil was cast from it, and then it was blessed. This water was then first used for baptisms that occurred on Epiphany, and afterwards for the Epiphany house blessings, as well for all of the other occasions of the year.
Well, that's fascinating. But I think that the most important point to remember about Christmas and Epiphany is their continuity of focus on the initial mystery and miracle of the Incarnation, the Creator taking on human flesh in order to live among us, in order to save us. Immersing ourselves in grasping the Incarnation mystery can then prepare us for the greatest mystery and miracle of all, the death and resurrection of Jesus.
And so perhaps that means that we should keep our Christmas decorations up through Epiphany?
The day of Epiphany or the season of Epiphany?
Okay, you got me. Yep. How about the next time we cover the season of Epiphany and more fully discuss how it traditionally bridged us more gently out of the Christmas and into pre-Lent and into the season of Lent itself?
Gentle bridging sounds very good to me. And maybe we will finally find when Christmas should really end. Until then, let's pray a Hail Mary as a blessing over all of us for the upcoming year.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We end here by wishing you all a blessed and prosperous new year. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember Jesus' word, wide is the road to destruction. So we remind you to stay on the path, and we ask that St. Raphael, the Archangel of Travelers, Godspeed you on your sojourn.